Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First today, Simon Harris has become Taoiseach in waiting, having been voted Fine Gael leader yesterday. He pledged to renew, reset and reconnect with the party's voters and committed to running the government's full term to March of 2025. Now, Fianna Fáil and Green Party politicians must now endorse a second Fine Gael Taoiseach when the Dáil reconvenes on the 9th of April. But will they seek anything in return? Well, joining me now in the studio is Neil Richmond, who's Minister of State at the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment, and Fine Gael TD for Dublin Rathdown. And I'm joined on the line by John McGuinness, Fianna Fáil TD for Carlow Kilkenny, Willie O'Dea, Fianna Fáil TD for Limerick, and shortly by Patrick Costello, who's Green Party TD for Dublin South Central. John McGuinness, I'll start with you. How do you feel about all this? Will it stick in your craw to elect another Fine Gael Taoiseach? Because it wasn't part of the original deal, was it?
No, it wasn't part of the original deal, and the shock announcement by Leo Radicker to stand down was not part of the deal either. We were told that there would be no shock in this government and that everything would be explained between party leaders if any issue should arise. That didn't happen on this occasion. But look, Simon Harris is there. We will have our parliamentary party meeting in Fianna Fáil, I'm sure, to discuss what's on our minds and our agenda. And like Fine Gael setting out their stall, we will set out ours. And I know that there's many backbenchers that will want particular issues brought to the fore and dealt with, issues that we have raised continuously at parliamentary party meetings. So while Fine Gael would say that they are, you know, resetting things, likewise with Fianna Fáil.
So what does that mean?
We have to have some standout issues dealt with.
Okay, so are you saying there'll be a quid pro quo here, that you're saying to Fine Gael, we'll vote for Simon Harris for you, but we want certain things in return?
Well, that's the nature of politics. This is another new beginning for Fine Gael and this government. So therefore, it's an opportunity for us to reflect on the issues of the day. For example, so migration, the hate speech bill, and housing for all, that the health issues, all of these big issues for the country and others.
But housing and health, they're your portfolios.
They are indeed, but we'll be looking for a new direction in terms of the legislation and the approach to all of these issues, to deliver faster, to deliver in a clearer way and not be distracted by, for example, the two referendums that we've just had. People have spoken and I think that they have given a decisive response to government to say that they did not want this. We're looking into a local and European elections. We'll need clarity on the issues that face us in the context of those elections. And above all, for the country, we need stability. And that stability cannot be overlooked. And we cannot put political agendas first. We must put the country first.
Right. So, Willie O'Dea, listening to John McGuinness there and taking into account what Fine Gael party members and ministers have said over the weekend, and indeed Simon Harris himself, it seems that you're on the same page here, really.
Well, I suppose the Leo's resignation came out of the blue. I mean, it was a shock to everybody, so there wasn't any time to discuss it in advance. We didn't hear it, most of us didn't hear it until after the event. Look, basically, the position is that Simon Harris didn't say anything in his speech, insofar as I can interpret it, that surprised or amazed me. I mean, but he did suggest that Fine Gael might try to seek to do new things which weren't necessarily covered by the programme for government in order to sort of re-establish their identity. Now, of course, the only thing that the three parties are actually committed to is the programme for government. And if anybody wants to go outside the programme for government, they have to get the agreement of the three parties. So I suppose the quid pro quo would be that if Fine Gael want to do other things and get our agreement, we want to do other things too, as chances to re-establish our own identities. We face into an election later, within the next 12 months. So that probably will be the quid pro quo, as I understand it.
Okay, so on the election, Simon Harris has made it clear that he wants to do the full term until March of next year. Do you want to go earlier?
Well, look, I mean, I suppose it doesn't make a great deal of difference, really, because the time difference will be quite short anyway, 2 or 3 months. I mean, many people would argue, and I can see the political, from the political point of view, many people would say that, you know, it's bad practice to leave it until the last possible moment because there could be some unforeseen scandal or crisis or whatever that might make it inopportune for a government to go to the country. Obviously, if you have no time left, if you're right up against the clock, you won't be able to delay the election to take account of that. Mm-hmm. There's also there's a number of deputies, as I understand it, contesting the European elections. One or more of those might be elected, so you're faced with a situation of a by-election, literally, you know, on the eve of a general election, which doesn't seem very desirable. And if you look at the actual timescale, I mean, normally, if the government decided to go to the country after the budget, you'd probably have a November election. Usually the Dáil goes into, of course, always the Dáil goes into Christmas, into recess for Christmas, so they wouldn't be back until about the 15th of January. Now, I think polling day needn't happen until the day or two after St. Patrick's Day, if my information is correct. But because of the St. Patrick's Day exodus, polling day will probably be a bit before St. Patrick's Day. So you're talking about bringing the Dáil back after Christmas for about 4 weeks, which seems a bit surreal. I mean, you know.
So would you prefer to have a September budget and an October election?
Well, look, you know, I'm not fixed on dates. I'm just pointing out the political consequences of going right to the last moment. I mean, as I said, we're already talking about, you know, 12 weeks anyway, so it doesn't make a great deal of difference in practice. Mm-hmm. But I'm just making a point that some people would argue that politically it might be more suitable to have it before the end of this calendar year.
John, what's your take on the election date?
I believe that we should have an earlier election than 2025. I think that we now owe it to the people to go to them to ask for their views on whatever manifestos might be put together in the meantime. But I think there's so much going on this year in terms of elections that we should have a general election perhaps immediately after the summer. You mentioned September. I would agree with that. I think leaving it to the end of the year and going into next year has all sorts of problems. And I think that the electorate really would like to see a date being set, similar to what happened in 2010 and 2011 when the Greens pulled out. And I hear that they're very quiet on this occasion, but they forced a much earlier election at that time, given the changes in government. And I think that we should have an early election in 2024.
Well, Patrick Costello is with us, Green TD. Patrick, good morning to you and you're welcome to the programme. John says you're being very quiet on all of this. What's your take on voting for Simon Harris and then when the election should be?
Well, look, there's a programme for government, as has been said. There's a programme for government in place, and that's what needs to be delivered on. And I think that we, you know, we're focused on getting on and delivering that and delivering the changes in public transport and things like that and the changes in energy and climate that we are delivering through that programme for government. So I think we're quiet because we're just getting on with the work.
And what about the hate crime? What about the hate crime bill? You heard there that there are some in Fianna Fáil that want that gone. We know that there are some in Fine Gael that want that gone. Michael Ring, most vocal on this yesterday, saying, I want the hate bill gone. I want to get rid of the daft idea of opening pubs all night. Now, what will the Greens do about that?
Well, I think let's start with the pubs. You know, it's not just about, the bill is not just about opening pubs all night. It's about updating our essentially Victorian licensing agreement. And many of the publicans who came before the Justice Committee were totally supportive of that because there is an issue that it needs to be updated and reformed. So to reduce it down to drinking all night, I think is a failure to understand what the bill's actually about. And in relation to the hate crimes, it was suggested that the hate crimes is not law and order. But the reality is there is an increase in violent hate crime against minority communities, against whether it's motivated by racism or homophobia. And the important thing to remember with hate crimes and violence like this is it sends a message not just to the person who's been targeted, but their community as a whole, that they are not welcome and they are at risk.
Well, you've a fight on your hands now, Patrick, because you have Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil now, some members of Fianna Fáil, and practically all of Fine Gael, it would seem, saying that they're not going to do this.
Well, I think this is an essential piece of legislation that is about keeping vulnerable communities safe from violence. And if that's not part of law and order, then I don't know what Fine Gael are on about, because it is part of law and order and it is part of keeping our community safe.
OK, Neil Richmond, what's going to happen to the hate crime legislation?
Well, I think this is a very important and well-intentioned piece of legislation. It's back with Helen McEntee, the Minister for Justice. There's a number of amendments that'll have to be got through. There's a number of reflections. There's a lot of listening to do. But I think Patrick is right. It is about law and order, but it's not just about legislation. It's about the practicalities of high visibility policing, of making sure we provide those supports for An Garda Síochána Síochána, and making sure that's absolutely a focus under the new administration.
Is it going to be a priority under Simon Harris?
I think we've seen a number of priorities laid out by Simon over the past weekend when it comes to the justice area, but equally in terms of backing business, in terms of building homes. And I just want to reassure John and Willie, and indeed Patrick, the programme for government isn't changing. And indeed, the programme for government never talked about personalities. It talked about the parties. The parties in government aren't changing. The parties that hold the Taoiseach's office and all the other ministries aren't changing. We have a very short period of time until the next general election, which will be next March, to make sure we push our clear priorities. And we in Fine Gael want to take a reset to look at our clear values, the ministries that we hold, how we can provide support, particularly for small businesses that have done so much in terms of improving workers' rights, particularly in the area of law and order,
okay,
in terms of on-the-street
so
policing.
So you heard John saying there has to be a bit of quid pro quo here. He doesn't want the hate crime legislation to be on the agenda. Will you give them that?
Are
you opposed to taking it off the agenda?
We have said quite clearly that we are not deviating away from the programme for government. What we have said is we want to use this period of time as a reset to look at the ministries that Fine Gael hold, to see what our priorities are, what we can achieve. In terms of the incitement against hatred bill, to give it its proper title, that is with the minister. It requires a lot of reflection, a lot of work. There's been an awful lot of amendments. There's been a lot of people who fed in, including Patrick, John and Willie and many of their colleagues from all different sides. It requires a lot of reflection and a lot of work that needs to be done, but there are other areas.
So you're going to long finger this.
It's in the exact same position it is today than it was 2 weeks ago. It's something that's been reflected upon that requires an awful lot of work by the minister and indeed all members of the Oireachtas.
Okay, Patrick, what do you think of that?
Well, to be honest, I think that, you know, Neil's right. There is a programme for government there, and I don't think it was negotiated quite difficultly. There was votes across the three parties on that. And I think that needs to be the focus. That needs to be what we're sticking with. And as Neil says there, we're sticking with that.
But does what Neil just said give you confidence that that hate crime legislation is going to go through?
Well, look, I've been engaging with Helen McEntee on this individually already, and you know, working with her to ensure that if changes are made, they're positive changes, because there are a lot of people supportive of this legislation who also want changes. So I think, you know, if I can continue working with Helen McEntee, on this.
But you're not sure whether Helen McEntee, I mean, nobody is, will be Minister for Justice in a couple of weeks' time.
No, and that's, you know, that's entirely in the gift of the Taoiseach. I would think that it would be better to keep as many of his ministers in place as possible, because they are already doing the work. And if he's going to have a big reshuffle, he's essentially starting again from zero for many of his ministers. And,
but on this issue, you would want to see Helen McEntee remain in that portfolio.
Certainly, I think it's a question that I think she's been doing reasonable work on this so far, and certainly I found her very engaging and willing to listen.
Okay.
And I think
John McGuinness, should Helen McEntee remain in justice?
Well, I don't mind who's in justice once the agenda for government is followed, and that the practicalities of putting that agenda into operation are understood. And clearly there is difficulty with the hate speech bill, and all of it needs to be ironed out and sorted out, just as much as bureaucracy and farmers and small businesses with the green agenda. All of this needs to be dealt with, and rural Ireland needs to be supported. These are the issues that will be raised, the practical issues, mm-hmm, at our parliamentary party meeting, which require focus because the government went off focus for a period of time. So I think that this has to be a time when we reflect on what we heard during the referenda campaigns, that we reflect on the last few years in government, and that we make the appropriate changes to reflect the identities of certainly the identity of Fianna Fáil. And that will require another parliamentary party meeting, discussions with the leaders and changes.
OK, Willie, what are you looking for in exchange for voting Simon Harris through as Taoiseach?
Well, I feel my interpretation of the original agreement was that I'm bound to vote for him. But of course, naturally, I would expect the party to demand certain things or to look for certain things, as John has said. One of the things in my bucket list would be the hate speech bill. I think it's dangerous legislation as it's presently drafted. Simon Harris did say yesterday, as I understand it, that it's going to have to be amended. That's an admission that there's something wrong with it. There's plenty, in my view, is that the law that's there is adequate to deal with this type of crime, but we don't have the resources to implement it properly. I mean, I've seen very little cases, I'm sure there have been one or two, but I've seen very little cases where the prosecution was initiated for hate crime and failed because of the inadequacy of the present legislation. I want to focus, of course, on rural Ireland, which I think is being neglected, and I want just get back to basics. I mean, along the lines of the matters John has outlined that's certainly my focus.
Neil, do you feel Fine Gael owes Fianna Fáil anything here?
Oh, we all our partners in government something. Fianna Fáil owes us something. The Greens owe something. That's how you have a three-party coalition working together. As I said from the outset, the programme for government isn't changing. All three gentlemen on the call have made very real concerns and good contributions that will be taken into account. Simon is absolutely committed with working with Micheál and Eamon to make sure that this is a government that works. We've got 11 months left in office, a number of pieces of work to get done, both legislative and in terms of policy and budgetary, to deliver for people. And that's what we want to do. We want to reset not just Fine Gael, but also the government as a whole, to show that, yes, we are listening and that we are delivering.
John, can I just come back to you on what is happening here? Like, do you feel or fear that there's going to be a PR job done here on all the measures taken by government before the next election, whenever that might be? And all the credit will go to Simon Harris and his reinvigorated, in inverted commas, Fine Gael.
Well, firstly, can I say that you asked a question, do we owe it to Fianna Fáil or owe it to Fine Gael? We owe it to the country to actually address the issues that are outstanding, that are causing difficulties in business and farming and in the lives of people. That's what we need to do. And that's where I think the focus should be.
Is that not what Simon Harris is saying, though? I don't see where the argument is.
He certainly is. And I could subscribe to all of those principles that he outlined in his speech. But that doesn't deliver. You need to get down to the point of delivery where communities and people, whether you're in business or unemployed or in farming or in a mainstream business, that you understand that the government is supporting you. That's not there anymore. It's like as if the government have left the people, and if that they've also left aside the voice of backbenchers and other organisations, sensible voices that will give them direction and feedback. They need to address that. They're not a government in isolation. They're in government in partnership with the people that elected them. And so it's about time they reflected that.
Okay, but on that question of the PR job, you know, this reset for Fine Gael, I mean, that's going to win them a lot of credit. It's already getting them a lot of attention, and you're not part of those headlines.
Yeah, and that, in the political sense, in raw politics, that is a concern. And that is why the identity of Fianna Fáil, which has been swallowed up in the makeup of this government and indeed the last one, needs to be reasserted. We need to make clear to the people that we represent just exactly what we do represent, what we do want to see achieved. And we have to do that loudly and clearly in order to regain our place in politics in Ireland. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we will suffer in the elections.
Now, we don't know what Simon Harris is going to do with Cabinet. You heard Patrick Costello saying there he believes Helen McEntee should remain on in justice. Do you think that that would be wise for Simon Harris to pursue that?
I'm just asking
Neil that, John. Sorry, go ahead, Neil.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, that, as you can understand, Claire, that's solely a matter for Simon, and you wouldn't want me to speculate on air about Cabinet reshuffles or indeed the roles of my friends. And these are my friends across
parties. Well,
your
name's in the frame as well, isn't it?
And I have sought no position and I've been offered no position. This is solely a matter for Simon Harris to put the best Fine Gael team into a cabinet of a government of three parties that can deliver for the people in terms of backing small business, in terms of delivering real law and order. And I have absolute faith, that's why I was the first out to back him, that he'll make those decisions and they'll be good decisions, not just for Fine Gael, but for the whole of this country.
OK, and Fianna Fáil, of course, Willie, won't have any input into that either. Have you got a view on it, though?
Well, look, you know, if a Fine Gael junior minister isn't going to speculate, you can hardly expect me to speculate.
Well, you might be freer to, in fairness.
Well, I'm certainly not going to tell Fine Gael how to do their business. But look, just to go back to what John has said, I mean, one of the things I noticed, you know, towards the end of the referendum campaign and in the immediate aftermath of the referendum vote, was how many of my supporters, people who've always voted for Fianna Fáil, said to me that they didn't vote for the referendum or they didn't come out to vote because they were disillusioned. They felt that Fianna Fáil, that there was an increasing disconnect between Fianna Fáil and its own supporters. So, you know, whatever about Fine Gael reasserting its identity, I think it's incumbent on us to move quickly to reassert our identity. Otherwise, you know, we feel the impact of the polls.
You're not saying you need to have a new leader, are you?
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we need to reassert our identity so that the people who we expect to vote Fianna Fáil next time will know what they're voting for.
All right, listen, we'll leave that one there. But thank you all. Willie O'Dea, John McGuinness, Patrick Costello and Neil Richmond. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.